Ayin Hey Amud. Actually, Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Page Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. So let's start again from the two dots. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says that it depends on the type of karban. Kadshim Shechayev Bachriyusan, those karbanot that the person is still responsible for them, he has to replace them if they would be lost, then there would be an obligation of 4 and 5. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what was Rabbi Shimon talking about. So initially the Gemara thought that what Rabbi Shimon meant was that if a thief stole an animal, let's say the thief stole the sheep of Reuven, and then the thief made Reuven's sheep holy as a korban, if it's a korban that Reuven would need to replace were it to be lost, then the thief would be obligated. So Amri, they said in the yeshiva, Nihida Savar Rabbi Shimon, Mali Machor Lehejot, Mali Machor Leshamayim, even if Rabbi Shimon believes that making it holy is the equivalent of a sale, Ipchami Baile, but the law should be the opposite of what Rabbi Shimon said. It should be that if the thief made it into a korban, and it's a korban that the original owner doesn't need to replace, were it to be lost, that would be considered a sale. But Kachem Shechayev Bachriyusan, if he made it into a korban, and it's a korban that were it to be lost, the thief needs to replace it, the owner needs to replace it. Pater, then the thief should be exempt. Da'akatlo nafik mirashusei, because the object has not left the domain of the original owner. Since the original owner would have a responsibility to replace it, that means it still belongs to the original owner. So the sale was not a sale. It still belongs to the original owner. Kachim she'enu chayev bachriyusan, if the thief made the animal that he stole holy, and it was made holy for a korban that the original owner does not need to replace, then chayev, then the thief would have responsibility, the mafkile mirshusei, because it had belonged to the original owner, but in his sanctification, it had left the domain of the original owner. Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva, you're not understanding what Rabbi Shimon said correctly. Rabbi Shimon, amilta achrita kai. Rabbi Shimon was referring to a different discussion. V'achi katani, this is the way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this. The law is that if a thief steals a sheep or steals a cow and then sells or slaughters it, he has to pay a fine of 4 times the value of the sheep and 5 times the value of the cow. What happens if one thief stole the sheep, then another thief stole it from that thief? So does the second thief have to pay this fine of 4 or 5 for the slaughter or sale? The answer is no, he doesn't have to do so. Next case, v'chein gonev hekdesh. Let's say somebody made an object consecrated, he made it holy. Then after it was holy, it was stolen and then slaughtered. Gonev hekdesh mibeis ba'ilim, someone who stole a sacred object from the home of the owner, pater doesn't have to pay the fine of 4 or 5. My time or why? The Torah speaks about paying a fine in a case of the gunav mibeis ha'ish, when it was stolen from the house of a man. The lo mibeis hekdesh, not if it was stolen from hekdesh, it has to be stolen from a man. If it's already holy, it doesn't belong to the man, it belongs to the temple trust. Rabbi Shimon said, so on that Rabbi Shimon said, it depends what type of holy things. If it's kachim shechayev bachriyusan, if what the thief stole was an animal that had been made holy as a sacrifice, but it was a type of sacrifice that were it to be lost, the one who made it holy has to replace it. So then we have a rule, whatever causes money also gives a certain ownership stake. So that means that the owner still owns it because he has to replace it. So then the thief would have to pay 4 or 5. Chai, my time or why? Karina bevaguna mibesa ish. Because that we can say about it, it was stolen from the home of its owner. However, if what the carbon that was stolen was a carbon that even if it were to be lost, the one who made it holy would not have to replace it. Sheino chayav b'achriyusa, if he's not responsible for it, then pater, then the thief would be exempt for the theft. Because that would not be considered a theft from the house of the owner. That's a theft of the sacred trust. The sacred trust that doesn't belong to the owner anymore. So the Gemara now says, Mechti, let's try to understand this point of view. Shamin le'el Rabbi Shimon, we know elsewhere from the views of Rabbi Shimon, that when the Torah says that a thief who slaughters has to pay a fine of a multiple of what the value of that sheep was, that has to be a real slaughter. But a slaughter that didn't permit the animal to be eaten is not considered a slaughter. So he said, Amar shchita shein ruya lo shma shchita. He says a slaughter that doesn't permit the animal to be eaten is not considered a slaughter. So if you're saying his case is when a carbon was stolen and then slaughtered, kachim nami, if the carbon was slaughtered, if it's slaughtered outside of the Beis HaMikdash, shchita shein ruya hi. Why would there ever have to be a payment for that slaughter? That's a slaughter that's not going to permit it to be eaten. If a person takes a carbon and he slaughters it outside of the Beit HaMikdash, he can't eat it anymore because he violated the law of Shchutei Chutz, slaughtering carbonot outside the Beit HaMikdash. So here the thief took the carbon, even if it's a carbon that has to be replaced, so it still belongs to the original owner, but he slaughtered it out of the Beit HaMikdash. So that's not an act of slaughter. There's no tvicha, there's no slaughtering. So if there's no slaughtering, why would he have to pay? It's treif, yeah.
What is the mila here? Why we don't have mila here? It's mila.
It's not mila because it still belongs to the original owner. And he hasn't benefited from it necessarily. Maybe the thief didn't eat it.
Wait, who gets a mitzvah for it? The thief or the owner?
But second, we'll get to that. The Gemara will talk about that. Kiyasa Ravdimi Amar Rav Yochanan. So Ravdimi, to explain to the view of Rabbi Shimon, explained what happens like this. Reuven made a neder. He made a vow. On me is incumbent, he said, to bring a karban shlamim. And he took a sheep, and he said, this sheep is my karban shlamim to fulfill the vow. Then Shimon came and stole the sheep. So since this is a sheep that Reuven has to replace, so Reuven had an ownership in the stake in the sheep. So therefore, Shimon, who stole it, stole something from the home of its owner. And then what did Shimon do? He brought the sheep to the Beis HaMikdash, and he slaughtered it in the Beis HaMikdash. B'shochei tmimim mibifnim l'shem balim. He slaughtered the sheep in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of its owner. So the Gemara said, one second, if that's what happened, that's why it was a kosher slaughter, it wasn't a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash, Hari Chazra Karan Labayim, that means that the sheep was returned to the one who it was stolen from. He didn't lose anything. What he had was a carbon. The carbon was brought. So why did he lose anything? He owned a sacrifice. A thief came, took the animal from his home, brought it up to the temple, and slaughtered it in the Beit HaMikdash. So his sacrifice was brought. Who cares whether he brings it or the thief brought it? The thief brought it. It was good. Yeah, but he got it back. It's as if it was returned to him. Because what his point, the whole point of the sacrifice, it's going to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. It was brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin said, no, he didn't get the animal back. It was slaughtered, so the act of slaughter was a good act of slaughtering. Because it was slaughtered in the Beit HaMikdash. But after it was slaughtered, Shenishbach Adam, the blood of the sacrifice was spilled. So since the blood was spilled on the floor, it was never offered, and he never got the fulfillment of his vow. Because his vow is to give a sacrifice. The meaning of a sacrifice is for the blood of the animal to be splattered on the altar. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I'll tell you another answer. Really, it's a carbon that was stolen from the home of the one who had donated it. So you asked, according to Rabbi Shimon, why does the thief have to pay? The slaughtering wasn't a kosher act of slaughter, if it's a korban. The answer is, b'shochei tmimim bifnim, the animal was slaughtered in the temple, correctly. Shelo l'shem balim, but without intent that it work for this person, with intent that it be for somebody else. So, sir, it wasn't returned to him because the Kohanim and the people slaughtering weren't thinking of him when it was slaughtered. They were thinking of other people. On the other hand, no, it's not pigle. Pigle is only with the thought of eating it at the wrong time. But it was, in fact, shelo lishma. It wasn't brought for his sake, so he didn't fulfill his obligation. So since he didn't fulfill his obligation, therefore, it wasn't returned to him. But it was a kosher slaughter. It was in the Beit Mikdash. Right.
How I'm punishing the guy that on the korban to bring another one because somebody stole it from him.
But that's what happened. Because somebody else stole it. No, because it wasn't brought for his sake. The korban wasn't brought for him.
So maybe here the punishment has to be maybe 10 times. I don't know.
No, this is the law. It's 4 or 5. So now, Resh Lakish gave a third possibility. Again, we're talking about where a korban was stolen. So we asked if a korban was stolen, so it wasn't stolen from the owner. Okay, the answer is it's a korban that the owner needs to replace. So since he needs to replace it, he does have an ownership stake in it. So it is considered stolen from him. We said, but then the slaughtering is not a good act of slaughtering. No, the slaughtering was in the Beit HaMikdash, we said. We said, well, if it was in the Beit HaMikdash and the owner got his animal back, okay, maybe the blood was spilled, or maybe it was slaughtered without intent for him. Rish Lakish said, no, the korban was stolen. And then it turns out that the korban had a blemish. Bali Mumin, it had a blemish. And since it had a blemish, it doesn't belong in the temple anymore. So it was slaughtered outside of the temple. The Shochet Bali Mumin Bachutz, it was a kosher act of slaughter. Tayi bar Belazar. So Belazar had a problem with all of these answers. The Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it was slaughtered in the temple and then the blood spilled. I don't understand. Shechita Materes. Is it the slaughter of a sacrifice that makes the animal meat kosher? Halo Zrika Materes. It's the sprinkling of the blood of the sacrifice that makes the meat of the animal kosher. So here, it still was an act of slaughter that didn't make the meat kosher. Because there was a slaughter in the temple, but there was no sprinkling of the blood. It shouldn't fit into the Torah's words, Utzbacho, if the thief will slaughter it, because it's not a slaughter that made the meat kosher, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, again, the animal was blemished and it was slaughtered outside of the temple. Still, Shechita Materes, does that mean that that meat could be eaten? You can't eat it. Halopdia materas, you would still need to have redeemed the animal. And only once the animal is redeemed could it then be eaten if it was then slaughtered. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Lezer was making a mistake. Ishtamitite, what was missing from what he was thinking, is the fact that he was making a mistake in the opinions of Rabbi Shimon. Had Rabbi Shimon, he was forgetting lessons that Rabbi Shimon taught elsewhere in regards to sacrifices. Rabbi Shimon had the view that kol omed lizro kizaruk tami. Once an animal is slaughtered in the temple and the blood was caught correctly, since the blood was about to be thrown on the altar, it's already considered thrown on the altar. So therefore, once the animal was slaughtered in the first case, the case of Rabbi Yochanan, and the blood was caught, the blood was about to be thrown. So therefore, it's considered thrown and the animal is already kosher, the meat is kosher. And another point, in the case of Rish Lakish, where the animal was blemished, he said, and it was slaughtered outside of the temple. So he said, 1 second, but it wasn't redeemed. It's not kosher. No, it is kosher. Because Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that kol omed livdos, whatever is about to be redeemed, kipadui dami is already considered redeemed. Where do we see him teaching these two ideas? Kol omed lizro kizaruk dami, any blood that's about to be thrown is already considered thrown. The Tanya that we learned in the following brisa. There is a law that a korban that sleeps, it sleeps over when it shouldn't be sleeping, becomes prohibited with the prohibition of notar. So let's say a person offered a korban Pesach, an Erev Pesach, and then instead of eating it all before midnight, he just left it, and it slept till the next morning. The next morning, that meat is notar. So that's prohibited meat. Now there's another law also, which is that foods can become tameh. However, foods only can become tameh if they were once kosher. If they had never been kosher, never been edible, they can't become tameh. So we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh notar shehu mitameh tumas ochlin. There is some meat of notar which can become tameh and make other things tameh with the food impurity. The yesh notar, then there's other meat of notar, she'eino mitameh tumat ochlin, which cannot make things tameh. Kate said, what's the case? If it was slaughtered, and lan lifnei zrika, before it was slaughtered late in the afternoon, there wasn't time to throw the blood, and it slept over the night. Let's say, a carbon that can only be eaten that day and that night. Let's say something like a carbon toda. And it wasn't even thrown the blood. It was never kosher. But if it slept over the night after the blood was already splat thrown, then it slept over, so it was kosher. Then it can become tummy with tumas ochlin. The kaimelon and we paskin. My lifnei zrika. What does it mean that it slept the night before the blood had been thrown? What it means is kodem shenira lizrika. Before there had been a moment when it could have been thrown. In other words, not that the blood actually was thrown, but there was time to throw and it wasn't actually thrown. When we say that if there had been, that after the throwing of the blood it could become tameh, that meant liachar shenira lizrika, once there was enough time to throw the blood, even though it actually wasn't thrown. Kodem shenira lizrika. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara explains, Kodem Shanira Lizrika Lan, if it slept over the night before it had a chance to be able to be thrown, Mahi, what's the case? It was slaughtered later in the day, and there wasn't time in the day left after it was slaughtered to catch the blood and walk it and throw it. Because it was slaughtered right before the sun was going down. Then ainu mitamei tumas ochlim. It can't become tamei and make other things tamei with this food because the food was never kosher. Now the achar shenira lizrika lan. What does that mean? If after there was time to throw it, then it had slept over. It was slaughtered. Dav yeshus biyom lemizrika. It was slaughtered, and there was enough time left in the day to take the blood and throw it, but it wasn't actually taken. Then mitamei tumas ochlim. Then this carbon meat is considered meat that had been kosher and now is unkosher because it slept over the night, and it still can become tummy. Now, one second, it hadn't been the blood hadn't been thrown. Apparently, you see that according to Rabbi Shimon, kol omed lizrok kizaruk tummy, that when you have blood of a carbon, if it was standing to be thrown on the altar, it's already considered thrown on the altar. And therefore, in our case as well, when someone stole someone else's carbon and he slaughtered it in the temple, so the blood was caught and now it was about to be thrown. So it's considered already thrown. So it's considered that the slaughter made the meat kosher. Then the blood spilled, okay. But the slaughter had made the meat kosher. So the thief had stolen and slaughtered in an appropriate way. So now he has to pay the fine of 4 or 5 times for his criminal behavior.
Is there a time limit for throwing the blood?
You know, yeah, you can only do it during the day.
So it has to be done immediately, sort of.
Yeah.
We're not going according to the law. If the dam is wrong.
Oh, that I don't know.
We don't
know
yet.
How many times in the history a thief stole something and took it before Korbanot? Rabbi.
It doesn't matter how many times it happened, even if it's a slim thing. The halacha loves to deal with theoretical scenarios.
It's a learning experience.
It's very exciting.
It's like stealing money and giving tzedakah.
Then we said, according to Rabbi Shimon, that you had the answer of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said the case was the animal was stolen. It was a karban. Then it turns out to have a blemish. And it was slaughtered So we say 1 second, but if it has a blemish, you still can't eat it because it wasn't redeemed. Oh, the answer is where Rabbi Shimon believes things that could be redeemed are already considered redeemed. Where's the source for that? What's the source that anything which could be redeemed is considered redeemed? That's from another Braisa. The Tanya lived in a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon says, in regard to Para Aduma, if you have a red heifer, a red cow, Para Metame Tumas Ochlem, that if a dead rodent touched it, it would become Tameh, and if later that red cow that had become Tameh would touch other food, it would make that food prohibited. Now, 1 second. A Para Aduma is certainly not kosher. You can't eat a Para Aduma. You can't get any benefit from it. So the answer is, so how could it be considered food? The answer is, Ho'el v'hoysala sha'asa kosher. Because it had a moment when you could have gotten benefit from it. Why? At the moment that it was slaughtered, according to Rabbi Shimon, he believes you could redeem it. You could redeem it. So since you could redeem it, it is considered redeemed. So it is considered something which was kosher. Then it turns out it was burned. But, you know, all the other services were done to the Para Aduma. But it had a moment when it was kosher. So therefore, since it had a moment when it was kosher, it was considered food. And therefore, it could become tame and make other things tame.
Rabbi, can you just explain what was that time period that it was kosher?
Right after the slaughter.
Just right after.
So we'll see in a second why. Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish explained. Now in Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Para, if the court finds a red cow, which was very rare to find a cow completely red without any hairs on it, that are of a different color, that has never been worked, and it's 3 years old. So if they find that cow and they slaughter it, and then before they have a chance to go through with the other services, throwing the blood towards the temple and burning it, suddenly a messenger comes and says, we found a nicer red cow. We found another red cow. This one's even nicer. So then he said, Nifdes, you have a mitzvah to redeem it. And you can redeem it. You redeem the first. Take the status of red cow off the first and put it onto the second. Even if the first cow is Al-Gabe Ma'arachasa, is already been placed on the pile of wood to be burnt, even though the red cow's already been placed on the wood, so long as it hasn't been burnt, it can still be redeemed. And 1 second, it doesn't mean it was redeemed, it could be redeemed. And Rabbi Shimon says, since it could be redeemed, therefore it could become Tameh. Why would it be able to become Tameh? It was always prohibited. The answer is Alma, you see, since it had a moment when it could be redeemed, at that moment when it could be redeemed, it's already considered redeemed. And since it's already considered redeemed, at that moment it's considered food. And once something is food, it stays as food. So again, you know, this was all, we got into all of this discussion to explain a very difficult scenario. Again, Rabbi Shimon says there's some type of scenario where if the sacrifice involved is a sacrifice where the one who had pledged it is responsible to replace it, there would be a penalty to the thief of 4 or 5. So we tried to figure out what's that scenario. In the end, we came up with the following case. The owner had made a vow to bring a certain type of sacrifice. He separated an animal and dedicated it as the fulfillment of the vow. Since it was a vow, if the animal would have dropped dead, if the animal would have gotten lost, if the animal would be stolen, he'd have to replace it. So because he has to replace it, he has an ownership stake in it, even though it's a sacrifice. A thief came and stole it, and then the thief slaughtered it. So he said, 1 second, if the thief slaughtered it, it's not a kosher slaughter. It was a kosher slaughter in one of two ways. Either it was a kosher slaughter because it was slaughtered in the temple, and according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon, if the blood is caught and is about to be thrown, it's already considered thrown. So it was a kosher slaughter at that time. Then the blood spilled. Or it was a kosher slaughter because it was a blemished cow, which could be redeemed. Or blemished sheep, which could be redeemed. And this is the view of Rabbi Shimon, that any animal that could be redeemed is already considered redeemed, as we find in regards to Parah Adumah. He says the Parah Adumah can become impure because since it could have been redeemed, it was already considered redeemed, it was already considered food. Okay. Says the Gemara, question. Hishma Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, who said it was a kosher slaughter because it was a slaughter of a complete animal in the temple. So he didn't say like Rish Lakish that we're dealing with the case of a blemished animal. Tekabai lukmin las nisin. Because he wants to say that the case of the Mishnah is all types of karbanos that are stolen. Afilu bitzmimin. Even a karban that's whole and doesn't have a blemish. El Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, my time alone with Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't he say the case of Rabbi Yochanan? Right? Why does Rish Lakish say, oh, Rabbi Shimon was talking about a blemished karban that was stolen and it was slaughtered outside of the temple? Why not say the case of Rabbi Yochanan? Amalachasi, he'll tell you like this. The verse says that when does a thief pay 4 or 5? Utvacho umucharo. If the thief burglarizes a sheep or a cow, slaughters it or sells it. So there's a linkage between slaughter and selling because they're put together in the same verse. So that tells you like this, kol heicha de isa b'mechira, any object that could have been sold, isa b'tvicha, if it was slaughtered, then there is the fine for the slaughter. But kol heicha de lesa b'mechira, but such objects that can't even be sold, cannot even be sold, leise b'tvicha, if those objects were stolen and slaughtered, there wouldn't be any obligation for the slaughter. So therefore like this, what's your case of Yochanan? Someone dedicate made a vow. Then he separated an animal. So the object became a karban. It was holy. So hani kachim, a karban, hold the chimazbin kachim lohavi mechira. If he would turn around and say, okay, I'm selling my shlamim. You can't sell a shlamim. You can't sell a karban. So if he sold it, it wouldn't be a sale. So therefore, he thinks that the slaughter is not even a slaughter. Les nu b'tficha. Now this question of whether the obligation on a thief for slaughtering only applies to those objects that he could have sold is actually an argument elsewhere also between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Because we learned. Hamocher treifa ledivrei Rabbi Shimon. What happens if a thief steals an object? It turns out that the object has a hole in its lung. So even if it would be slaughtered, it wouldn't be kosher. But he didn't slaughter it, he then sold it. So what would the view be according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon holds that if he were to slaughter it, since the slaughtering didn't make it kosher, it's not an act of slaughter. What happens though if he sold it? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayv, Rabbi Yochanan says, well, if he sold it though, he would have to pay 4 or 5. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish said, Pater, he would be exempt. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayv, Rabbi Yochanan said, he'd have to pay 4 or 5. Even though there's no option here of slaughtering this stolen animal, because the stolen animal has a hole in its lung, the slaughter wouldn't make it kosher. You couldn't eat it. Yeah, but according to Rabbi Shimon, when the Torah says utvacho, the thief will slaughter it, it means shchita haruya, slaughter that makes it kosher. That's why we have this whole discussion. Because if it's just about giving to the dogs, he could give a carbon that he slaughters outside the base and make the shuls of the dogs. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though this animal wouldn't have the option of triggering a 4 or 5 times penalty through slaughter, Issa b'mechira, if it wasn't slaughtered, it was sold, there would be a 4 or 5 times penalty because sale and slaughter are not linked to each other. Rish Lakish Amar Pater, Rish Lakish said he'd be exempt because came into Lesa b'tvicha, since the animal has a hole in the lung and you wouldn't have, according to Rabbi Shimon, the option of having to pay 4 or 5 for the act of slaughter, less of a mechira. There is no requirement of paying 4 or 5 for sale.
Don't you know he has a hole in his lung until you slaughter it?
Maybe they did an MRI. They knew. They knew. Esve Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish. We learned in a Braisa, Ganav Kilayim. Remember, the Torah obligates the payment of 4 or 5 to a thief who slaughters or then sells the stolen object in 2 cases only. In stealing a sheep, he has to pay 4 times. In stealing a cow, he has to pay 5 times. What happens if he stole a mutton? The animal was the child of a sheep and a goat. So it's a mixture. It's kilayim. It's a mixture. So what's the law? He stole it, utvacho, and he slaughtered it. Or what he stole was a sheep, but the sheep has a hole in its lung. It's a trefa. Umachra, and he sold it. Says the Braisa, Misham, Tashlim, Abba, Chamisha. He has to pay 4 or 5. So my love, Rabbi Shimon, presumably this is following the view of Rabbi Shimon. And Alma, what's the point? Afal gav less a bitvicha in the second case of the Braisa, even though the animal has a hole in its lung. So were it to be slaughtered, there wouldn't be a payment of 4 or 5 because it's not a kosher slaughter. It doesn't make the animal kosher. Nevertheless, if it wasn't slaughtered, it was sold, you have to pay. So you see that the penalty of paying for sale is not linked to the penalty of paying for slaughter, that only an animal that could be slaughtered would you pay for sale. And it goes the other way too. If the sale is not linked to slaughter, you don't say only an animal that could be sold could be slaughtered. Yeah, if the animal has a hole in its lung, so then you wouldn't pay 4 or 5 for the slaughter, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says it has to be shchita ru'uya, it has to be a slaughter that makes it kosher. Amar leis, Rish Lakish responded, lo, no, that price is not Rabbi Shimon, that price is the Rabbanan, who feel that any act of slaughter requires the thief to pay 4 or 5, even if the act of slaughter didn't make the meat kosher. E Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan, so treifa b'machira isa b'zvicha lesa. Why did the Braisa say that if the thief stole a sheep that has a hole in its lung and he sold it, he has to pay 4 times? Why didn't it say if he stole a sheep that has a hole in its lung and he sold it or he slaughtered it, he would pay 4 or 5? Because the slaughter that doesn't make it kosher also obligates. So the Gemara says, Evelamai. So what are you going to say? Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. So let's say the first case of the Braisa. Kilayim, if he stole a mutton and then he slaughtered, he has to pay 4 times. 1 second. That's only true about slaughtering. If he were to sell a mutton, he wouldn't pay 4 times. Of course he would. The Braisa spoke about slaughter and it meant also sale. So in the end also it says sale and it means slaughter. So if so, so it's saying that if he sold the trefa, he would have to pay 4 times, but the same thing would be true if he would slaughter the trefa. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, hi Ma, you can't say that in the Braisa. Yamit Bishlamah, if you're going to say that this whole Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, who says that an act of slaughter that doesn't make the food kosher is not an act of slaughter. And I'll tell you what's going on. I did a ton of treifa b'chada, since in the second case it's talking about a treifa. And in a treifa, you wouldn't have to pay 4 times for slaughter, because it's slaughter that doesn't make the food kosher. You'd only have to pay 4 times for sale. So it only could give 1 case in that latter, in the latter scenario, the scenario of a treifa, it's only the case of sale that creates obligation. So that's why Tana Kilayim in the first scenario, when it talks about a mutton, and also B'chad, it only spoke about 1 case, the case of slaughter. But the truth is it would apply even to sale. Eli Yamet Rabbanan, but if you can say that the whole Brice is the view of the Rabbanan, who never require that the act of slaughtering make the meat kosher. So then now, and it just happens to be that it's, that it mentioned one thing, but it applies to the other one too. So then Narvinu v'nisninu, it should have mixed them all together and said, Ganav Kilayim Utrefa, if he stole a mutton, or he stole a sheep that was a treifa, tvachan umacharan, if he slaughtered them or sold them, mishalem tashlum yabav v'chamish, he has to pay 4 or 5. When it says kasha, you're right, it is in fact a problem. It's a problem. Okay. So now that we mentioned this braisa, the Gemara talks about it. Again, the braisa said, if a person stole kilayim, he stole a mutton, a sheep, that's the product of a sheep and a goat, and then he sold, slaughtered it, he would have to pay the penalty of paying 4 times for the theft of a sheep. I sex it, the Torah says a sheep. Amar Rava, so Rava answered that the Pasuk says, Zos habeima asher tochlu shor sex avim v'se'izim. Zeh bana av, we know that that Pasuk taught, as an example, If the Torah says sheep, it means a sheep and not a matan. Here it's different. Because it says in regards to theft, shor o se, a ox or a sheep. Oh, the extra word o l'rabos esakilaim, to include muttons. The Gemara says, really? V'chol o l'rabos, whenever it says or, it means to include. The pasuk says shor o kesev, a sheep or an ox can be brought as a karban. So the fact says shor o kesev prat l'kilayim, it's to exclude a matin. Then it says o aze or a goat prat l'nidme, to exclude an animal that's born from, let's say, a kosher animal, or the child of a sheep that doesn't look like a sheep. Amar Rava, so Rava explained. Sometimes the word O is inclusive, sometimes it's exclusive. Here it's based in the context of the verse, and here it's based in the context of the verse. Hacha Gabik Neva, here in regards to theft, where it says shor o seh, an ox or a sheep. Now you can't combine an ox and a sheep to get a mutton. So then the fact that it said O is l'rabos kilayim, it's to include muttons. Gabi kachim, in regards to karbanos, tchsiv, kesev, a's, a sheep and a goat, shanta yachalot, kilayim yivinim, where you could have put kilayim from the two of them. They couldn't crossbreed. The fact that it said, olim utehu, is to exclude the mutton.